I told myself I was through with the tears, and you got me with Love One Another, ladies. What a beautiful song. Beautiful to hear your voices. So that's what this is for. It is my birthday today. I love the cards that you get from the Leander Church of Christ. I love this one especially. It says, "Relax and enjoy your day." I probably have gotten 6 hours of sleep in the last two nights, so that may explain some things. I decided we would continue. You can't punt twice, so we would continue in 1 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 1. But before we get started, I really appreciate your encouragement, any encouragement that you can give me. I'll take criticism, but I really appreciate your encouragement. Love that today I kind of felt like a Alabama pig on the 3rd of July. Just going to sweat it out. You'd have to think about that one for a little bit before you understand the significance of the 3rd of July and its relationship to barbecue the next day. But Jim did come up to me and he told me a good one. He said, I won't tell it the same way he did, but a Christian was so moved by the sermon and so moved that they wanted to make sure that they were filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word of God. They wanted to be so filled that if a mosquito bit them, that mosquito would fly off singing, "There is power in the blood." So I thought, that's good. That's a good takeaway. But I have not met the mosquito I think would dare to bite Jim Nix just out of respect and just the great respect that he has. And so if he ever encourages me, it really means a lot. When we study about 1 Corinthians and food sacrifice to idols, there are other passages. 1 Corinthians 10 kind of picks it up, also Romans 14. But I want to draw a little bit of a line in the sand. So if you will, turn with me to Acts 15. Jim, if you get a good optometrist, you let me know. I'll begin in verse 19. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted to idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. And this, of course, is the Jerusalem conference. Gentiles have been introduced into the church, and it's causing problems for the Jews. And so, in a sense, if you will allow me to say a compromise, or these four things, really aren't compromises, they agree to at that conference. I also want us to turn into the book of Revelation. And in chapter 2, again, I'm going to start in the middle of the letter to the church at Pergamum. Verse 14, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols. and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And then also to Thyatira. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering. I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds. And I will repay each of you according to your deeds. So when we go back now to 1 Corinthians in chapter 8, let's keep those things in mind. Now, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm saying, do y'all want to make a short sermon of this? How many of y'all even know where to get meat offered to idols? You do? All right. Would you give it up? How many of you would be offended? Yeah. I think there lies maybe the difficulty. Is this a modern issue? But let's dive in anyways. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 8. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. Remember that. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to idols. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and do no better if we do. Now, I choose not to see this as a contradiction. So far, what is an idol? Imagine something created. Does it have any power? Does it have any significance? Is it a god? Only if we what? Choose to make it that. If we allow ourselves, or we give it that power. It's nothing. It can't reach out and touch you. It's an empty vessel. So Paul's saying, in the same way, is meat offered to idol one way or another, is it any good? Is it anything? But still I hear him saying, but if we give it that power, or if someone among us gives it, creates a crisis of conscience, Now let's continue. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you, who have this knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brother in this way, you wound their weak conscience. You sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. So here we look at the crisis of conscience, the weaker brother versus you who have knowledge. But he warned us about knowledge. Now, some people have taken this to say, where's the power? Where's the power in this equation? I want to be, I can't. So you have what? You got to help me. You got to do it my ways because I'm so weak. And in fact, you're actually saying I'm so powerful because I can hold something over you. But let me give you something because I have struggled with this for a while. What does it mean? Let's change the paradigm. And this is my words. If I come to you and I say, "You, I see that you're eating meat offered to idols," you might say to me in return, "Are you concerned about my soul or are you concerned about your soul?" Now, if I say, "I'm concerned about your soul," you could argue, or begin to argue, that I'm coming from a point of strength in my faith. If I say, "I'm worried about the effect you're having on my soul," I might be coming from a point of weakness. What you do has an influence on me. It's tearing down my faith. It's causing me to stumble. Now, we understand this, or more sensitive to this, with addictions, aren't we? In fact, in a class recently, I asked, "Tell me, if you dare, what is your meat offered to idols? What is your weakness?" It's kind of scary, exposing yourself like that. They might take advantage of it, might laugh at you, different things. I was humbled by the response. One might say, "You know, my weakness is alcohol. It doesn't help if you're throwing a party with alcohol or you're drinking around me. That's difficult." Someone might say some other form of addiction, drugs. Another person might say lust. Different things that cause that person to lust. Pornography, things like that. They weren't the things I was thinking of, but they were real idols in people's lives, real addictions, real stumbling blocks. We're sensitive to those. We need to know about those. There may be other things that are a stumbling block. But I wanted to take a different direction in this. Something that may help us. not only on this problem, but all kinds of conflicts in the church. I looked up something called one another passages. There are one another passages. There are each other passages. Most of the times, those passages are talking about you, church, one another, one another, each other, love each other, on and on. The household of faith, people that you worship with on a daily basis, people that you interact with in the church. And though this may be a little bit painful for you, I'm going to read all 59 and have you reflect on them. They'll be short. It begins, and it was done in a Matthew through Revelation kind of way. Be at peace with each other. John, wash one another's feet. John 13, love one another. In the same verse, he says, again, love one another. In the next verse following, he says, love one another. And in chapter 15, he says, love one another. And in chapter 15, verse 17, he says, love one another. All right, John, okay, we got it. Romans 12, great chapter on Christians and how we should treat each other and how we should look at our own selves. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Verse 16 of the same chapter. Live in harmony with one another. Paul's going to jump on the John wagon. Chapter 13, verse 8. Love one another. Chapter 14. Stop passing judgment on one another. Romans 15, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. Instruct one another, greet one another with a holy kiss. When you come together to eat, wait for each other. Have equal concern for each other. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. He says it again in another book. Serve one another in love. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, you will be destroying by each other. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envy one another in Galatians 5. How about this one? Carry each other's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Ephesians 5. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. In Philippians, in humility, consider others better than yourself. Do not lie to each other. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievance you have against one another. Teach one another. Admonish one another. Make your love increase and overflow for each other. Love each other. Encourage each other. Encourage each other. Build each other up. Encourage one another daily. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Encourage one another in Hebrews. Do not slander one another. Don't grumble against each other. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. Live in harmony with one another. Love each other deeply. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. And then John picks up the pen again in 1 John, and guess what he says? Love one another. 3:11. Love one another, 3:23. Love one another, 4:7. Love one another, 4:11. Love one another, 4:12. And in 2 John, he does it again, verse 5. Love one another. When I read this and compare that and go back and I read 1 Corinthians chapter 8,
meat offered to idols, it opens my eyes. We don't struggle with meat offered to idols. We struggle with different things, but there are different issues that each one of us may have that can be not just a preference, not just an opinion, but a conflict of faith, something that would disrupt the very fabric of the church. And I step back and I say, what can I do to help resolve this? What can I do to love one another? Can I be strong? Do I need to admit, in this case, I'm weak? I'm going to go out on a limb, because what I had been struggling with, some things that I find weak, if someone were to introduce instrumental music here, I would have a real problem. I'm saying that mildly. I have a history that I look at. I have all sorts of different things. It would be a difficult thing. If someone were to say, you know, we don't think the Bible says what it says over there about women speaking in the worship, we're going to do it. Guess what? I would have a real conflict there. And I would be, can I go on? Now someone may say, Daryl, how long have you been a Christian? Don't you know you're stronger than that? I don't think that's what he was saying there. You get to tell me I'm not weak when I'm telling you I most definitely am, if that is. And I'm being generous in those regards. My point in the one another passages, we're all in the body. We're all in a part of the bride of Christ. We may not argue about circumcision. We may not argue about meat offered to idols, but there's other things. Be honest about what those grievances may be, what those difficulties may be. But it also helped me when I asked my brothers and sisters, what's your weakness? What is the stumbling block in your life? And they talked about real difficulties. Drugs, alcohol, sex, lust. Love one another. As Christ loved us, willing to humble himself and die, cruel death on the cross. If you're struggling in this world, we can pray for you. If it would help to admit your weakness tonight, do so. Let us know. We need to be considerate about it, even if you don't, anticipating what might be that struggle of faith. We're all in this together. Christ died for all of us. If you need the prayers of the church, if you're willing to respond in any way, won't you come now as we sing?